Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Okay, it's time for the C-Note. We'll look at top headlines that are trending on Google around America's team. And Twitter, of course. What you're looking at right now is Brian Schottenheimer in his second interview. This, you know, last night when it ended after 4 hours of discussions without a deal, we thought, okay, maybe there's a pivot. Maybe things didn't go well. But about an hour and a half before today's show, we got the report from the NFL Network guys and gals that, you know, they were going back in to talk. So I think we could have something tonight for sure. Maybe by the end of the show, stay tuned. I know, Brian, you've been on the phone at every break.
I've been trying. This thing might be talking about how they're going to put the staff together.
All right.
This is kind of what I'm getting a little
Just hashing late. Things out.
Yeah, like, you know, who we can consider, who, you know, maybe who on the current staff.
And you're saying the Jason Witten thing, not the slam dunk that maybe we've been talking about the last couple of weeks.
You know, Witten's always going to be in consideration for things, but I was told we're all in the media, not just at 105.3, The Fan, that we're probably making a little bit of a too big of a deal of that.
All right.
So that's that. I'm just, like I said, I just, you know, things I get told every once in a while. So we'll see how it plays out.
Appreciate the insights and perspectives. We're going to get, you know, a look back on Brian Schottenheimer's track record. I'm going to try my best to harvest some optimism and positivity out of there. You guys tell me if I'm hitting on it or, you know, if I just need to give it a rest. But, you know, you could look at this thing glass half full. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, Michael Irvin says this is not the right hire. He was on TV once again this morning. Says he can see why they did it. Guy was in the building, give him a shot and all that. But they need the guy to elevate the mood around the team and help people believe in the locker room and the fan base. And, you know, I think that's a lot of what Dan Campbell did. You know, I think a lot of coaches can be cerebral and, you know, inspire confidence. But if you want more of a rah-rah guy, you know, I wouldn't argue with that. And you know, I don't think you need one of those guys. But, you know, I feel like, guys, we are going into a 3 to 5 year period now that could see the Cowboys fail to hold on to relevance. Because I don't think that Jerry views it like Michael does now, that we need to get somebody excited. I think Jerry is just going to who's the guy that we can pay the least and control who he's hiring with the coaching staff and isn't going to pitch a fit when I meddle in his affairs, you know, and undermine him in front of the team. I think that's really the criteria. You know, you had the 2000 to 2005 run, but that was just 5 years removed from a Super Bowl. You know, now you're 25 years removed from dominance. They survived a few seasons in the 80s. They made the big bold move to bring in Jimmy and you're right back at him again in the 90s. You know, they survived the Romo years, you know, or the broadest years by getting Romo.
Yeah.
You know, and they got Parcells and they had momentum again. But now all of these years later, they survived 2010 to 2013 because they were playing for the division every year in week 17, right? And they never won that pivotal game, whether it was against the Eagles or the Giants or Washington, but they had a chance, you know, back then. I feel like now after the end of the Packers playoff game and then this season and going into this with a hire that inspires no confidence, we might actually see their ability to drive TV ratings drying up here. If they don't make the playoffs again, can you guys see that happening? Or do the Cowboys have such a vice grip on it and the way that the national media talks about the soap opera, they will remain the number one talking point team in all of the U.S., even if they miss the playoffs, let's say the next 3 years.
If they miss the playoffs for the next 3 years, that might do it. As of immediately, no. I think we saw it when you've got a game against Cincinnati on Monday Night Football, where they're like a 5-7 football team, pretty much out of it. They're not good. They've got Cooper Rush starting at quarterback, and it was the highest rated ESPN Monday Night game of that week, week 13 or whenever it was, they've ever had. So to me, it doesn't really matter. Like, if they're in the hunt or not, people want to probably hate watch the Cowboys. They enjoy watching them fail. They enjoy watching the misery of myself and other Cowboy fans and what we're going through, because mean, that's how you become the most popular Oregon franchise in all sports. You're loved by a lot of people, but you're hated by maybe more people. So I don't know. I really don't think the ratings are going to be affected. And honestly, Jerry probably feels like the ratings aren't going to be affected. And that's why he doesn't care. Because really, why should he? And until he sees something or I see something to prove otherwise, I don't think that they're going to have any issues in that area. And that's a massive problem if that's really what he's caring about.
It is a problem. You know, I think the hope would be that they would lose relevance and force the Jones family to change their approach, you know.
Right.
But maybe actual football fundamentals, like great coaching, you know, doesn't matter nearly as much as the ability to stir that pot and keep the soap opera moving. But I will hope that the national TV stops talking about them at some point in the next 36 months. And Jerry is faced with the same dilemma as when he wanted that stadium built. I have to do something to get the fans reinterested. You go get Parcells and suddenly your organization, you know, has a significant 180.
Yeah, that's what it's going to take. That's what it is going to take when he cares about that stuff more than anything else. That's the shoe that's going to have to drop. It's not the Commanders now unseating you and you having the longest drought to the NFC Championship. That doesn't bother him.
Nope.
If we got the news today that the Commanders were more valuable with their franchise, then that would be the thing that would be like, okay, now we got to switch something up.
I'm sure you guys have seen the text and the Twitter activity. Like, there's a lot of fans saying, I'm done. You know, yes. I'm protesting now. No more of this, no more of that. But I do think just paying attention to the Cowboys and watching the Cowboys games and talking about the Cowboys with your friends on the job or at the youth sports game as you're killing time at practice, as long as it continues to, you know, be a talking point like that, it's so ingrained into the fabric of our culture that that's just what we pay attention to and talk about in our sports community. I don't know.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Maybe I'm overestimating how bad this next half decade could suck, but looking at the roster and looking at Dak's contract and the way they manage the cap, I don't know how they get out of it. Blogging the Boys did a nice piece on the details of Schottenheimer's resume and his track record with the Jets, sixth season. Guys, made the playoffs three times, smack dab in the middle of the Patriots dynasty. Isn't that something? Never had a good passing game, even in the Favre year. Why? I mean, their receivers were Jericho Cotchery and Lavernius Coles. Probably little Wayne Corbett in there as well. You know, maybe the tail end of his deal. After that, 3 years, Shoddy got out, went to the Rams. No talent. Their QB was Sam Bradford, Austin Davis, and Sean Hill. The rushing attack, an older Steven Jackson, then Zach Stacy and Trey Mason. I mean, those Cowboys teams around that time, that was one of the few teams that they could actually beat. I remember, you know, thinking of just how horrible that coaching staff was with I mean, but their best receivers were Amendola, Chris Givens, Kenny Britt, and Tavon Austin. So I don't know how you could expect Shoddy to do much at all with that offense. It was one of the worst run organizations, but it might have been his offensive ineptitude that forced them to think outside the box and go get Sean McVay.
Yeah, I mean, sure, the personnel stuff wasn't great or whatever, but you had Jared Goff looking like he was a certified bust, awful, disgusting, number one overall pick quarterback. And then McVay comes in there, and it's not long before they're playing in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So you can see the difference there. And I understand the personnel factor for sure. But
got Todd Gurley.
Like, come on, yes. Like, you were clearly not doing, like, Jared Goff, it looked like it was already damaged goods after 1 year. That's what you did to him.
Man. So then he's with the Seahawks from 18 to 20. And working under Pete Carroll, Seahawks offense moved inside the top 10 in points scored. They won 10-plus games in each of his three seasons with the team, made the postseason each time. Chris Carson, your featured back, ran over 1,100 yards in back-to-back seasons. Did have the good wide receiver trio there with Baldwin, Lockett, and the beginning of DK Metcalf's career. And just like his two previous stops, the Seahawks were better at running the ball than passing. They finished top 10 in rushing. So I think if you're the front office and maybe the smart coaches around there and you're endorsing Schottenheimer or you're deciding on Schottenheimer, it's with the understanding that we're not going to pass our way to success here. As much as we've tried, as much as we believe in Dak Prescott, the best running teams are making the playoffs this year. Dak has played by far his best football, his most efficient football. Still, you got to go back to 2016 when we could, you know, dominate a team with our running game alone. And we need to sell out to get back to that. You know, we need to do whatever's possible. And if you're looking for a guy who's going to run the ball more than just about any offensive coordinator in the NFL, it might be Schottenheimer. Doesn't look like him inspiring any confidence.
No,
in you
I mean,
guys,
like the volume of attempts will be there. He will want to run the football, but
how well can you do it?
How well can you do it? How nuanced is your attack? All that kind of stuff. I mean, anybody can just call run plays.
Yeah, I mean, the running game, that's something that I have always thought he's going to bring a good running game, which is why I really don't think he's had much say in what's going on here because the Cowboys' running game hasn't been great. It's been struggling the last few years. But the one thing that's funny is Dak's supposedly one of the biggest advocates, right? So does that mean Dak just wants to run the football then? If that's the sell, is it like Dak's, all right, let's do it. Let's line up. Let's play smash mouth and run the ball.
Well, I mean, what's the number? Dak can look it up. If I pass 35 times, we are going to lose the game.
Yeah.
You know, if Dak is endorsing that, like, guys, we need to get serious about this run game because I need better looks in the secondary, then I think that would be, an evolved and mature perspective for him to have. Quick inside the star.com mock draft. Guys, maybe you don't see this as a big need, but what if the Cowboys did what this author is suggesting in his mock? Round one, pick 12 out of Penn State, the tight end, Tyler Warren.
I do love Tyler Warren. I do.
6'6", 257, runs a 4'6", 40.
I'm a big Tyler Warren fan.
If you could tell me he can smack him up in the run game, I could get sold.
Tyler Warren can block.
Do you think he can?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sounds like Broadus has some doubt.
They played him at fullback, offensive tackle.
How much did he play in line?
This year, I don't have the percentage for you. Yeah. He played a lot in the slot this year.
Yeah,
they played him a lot in the slot.
He's an outstanding receiver when it comes to playing on the outside and catching the ball and doing those things. I don't know about, like I say, I kind of felt like that maybe the blocking wasn't one of his strengths.
No, Cody Warren's breakdown is he needs to improve blocking against edge defenders. And must improve his hand placement and his leverage at the point of attack.
Yeah, but I think
he's been a solid anchor at the point of attack.
Will mainly play as a flexed or slot receiver. We'll see him in line as a natural hands catcher. All the things you want to talk about him coming off the ball and stuff like that. He's a little clunky as a route runner.
But I think Jake Ferguson is a sufficient starter, but as a backup with a star. I mean, if you're just trying to make more first downs, you know, and you're considering wide receiver heavily, why not a star? You know, maybe the best guy you've had at the position since Jason Witten.
Gronk-like with the way he runs his routes.
Sure.
And then after the catch, you know, he's not going to just outrun people, but he's going to bulldoze over you. I mean, this is a guy that got snaps along the offensive line. To me, I think he'd instantly be your best blocking tight end, personally. I don't have that question about him when I watched him play.
Yeah, I did. I saw the Illinois and Ohio State games were the two that I watched.
USC was very impressive, too.
He did, against Illinois, he did knock down their linebacker on the second level. I kind of felt like, though, the leverage problems he had, he was like one shot and off.
Yeah.
When you watched him, I thought he'd be better with his hands. But, man, I mean, he's going to catch the football. He's going to make contested catches, but he's going to need some work, I think, as a run blocker on the next level. But I didn't see him as one of the as a top guy when you start to talk about the blocking ability. That gave me a little bit of that pause.
Brian, where are we going next?
I'll tell you what, I've got some interesting quotes about a coach that was hired, but I also want to talk to you guys a little bit, though, about these breakdowns of these teams in the playoffs again. We'll do that next.